Welcome to Credit Matters Newsletter for April 2019. Our monthly newsletter contains information about financial risk management issues, blogs, advice of new business listings, and free advice from organisations such as ASIC. What's new at Credit Matters? This month we've added another new feature, the Red Flags of Business, to our members area. When operating your business, especially when selling on business-to-business credit, you need to be aware of the danger signs which indicate your customer may be unable to pay. The signs that all is not well with your customer are called red flags. If you are unsure of what a red flag may be, you can always become a Credit Matters member at no cost. All things being equal, our other new features will be available in the coming months. The brochures attached to this month's newsletter include an older feature from the Bank Doctor, highlighting the issues associated with borrowing, details of RSM's next fraud courses, the fact that large businesses do not seem to want to promote their payment practices from Australian Small Business and Family Enterprise Ombudsman, and Jan Reeve's book for small businesses, Get Paid. If you wish to promote your business services at an affordable rate, contact Kim at kim@creditmatters.com.au. You will be surprised at what we have to offer. Quote of the month. If you can't dazzle them with brilliance, baffle them with bullshit. W.C. Fields. Monthly business observation. The difference between a customer of substance and a customer of opportunism. One of the greatest traps for any business person is to fall for the seemingly fantastic offer of business from an organisation or individual which looks very good at first glance. It is really difficult at times to hang on to a sense of reality when we get these offers. It is especially hard to resist these offers if we have been waiting for such an offer or are really desperate for business. In such situations, we often forget the old adage, if it looks too good to be true, then it probably is too good to be true. The problem is when we forget this saying and only think of the potential benefits, we rarely consider the downside of the offer. There are three major customer types which can cause issues because they either lack substance, despite looking good, or they target suppliers through opportunistic contacts. The first of these are fraudsters. It'd be wise to remember that one of the fraudsters' main operating formats is to approach their potential victims with a glitzy offer. We note, for instance, how successful investment scams are when we see the glitzy approaches used to attract prospective customers. The same happens in business. The second customer type is a deliberate slow payer or desperate buyer. These customers, despite looking good at first, are usually on stop credit or stop supply elsewhere. Their approach will usually be time critical, that is, the orders must be supplied very quickly or near the end of the month. This time-poor approach is designed to pressure the supplier into rushing the decision to supply and avoid proper due diligence, which might expose the buyer's real reputation and lack of substance. The third customer type is when a potential customer with a well-recognised name and appears to be an ideal customer approaches your business. These businesses do not set out to intentionally operate illegally or to act unethically. They are, in fact, proper and legally operated business enterprises. The problem with these customers, however, is that they are often very difficult to manage profitably due to their size and entrenched operating processes. Too often a supplier is swept away with the glamour and the potential of the relationship. They then fail to complete a proper due diligence program. As a consequence, they can soon find themselves in trouble as they try to deal with all the issues of a large corporate business. At the end of the day, there are a lot of businesses and business people which appear to have all the attributes of a substantial business or product. If proper due diligence is completed, however, you soon find out whether all is in order or whether their brilliance is a facade covering their bullshit proposition. Monthly business conundrum. Is it better to pay off debts with no interest being charged or debts funded by expensive interest? Indeed, this is a tricky question because the conventional thought is to pay off the debt with the most expensive interest rate first. In regards to consumer or personal debt, the answer is obvious. You pay off the debt with the most expensive interest rate first. In business, the answer is a bit trickier. Obviously, if you have debt financed by high interest rates, then getting rid of that debt sounds reasonable. If the debt is funded by a lower interest rate and the payments are affordable, however, then you may need to consider another proposition. Business-to-business credit is free of an interest charge, plus there are no fees, providing all invoices are paid in a timely manner. If you concentrate on paying debt, which has an interest component, and don't pay your interest-free business-to-business debt, then the free debt facility can be withdrawn. If this happens, all other or future debt will incur an interest charge and fees because there will be no interest-free business-to-business debt. The best answer to your borrowing requirements will vary from business to business. If interest rates are reasonable and the payments affordable for other debt, you need to be careful that you do not neglect the payment of any interest-free business-to-business debts. It is essential to always do your best to maintain access to free debt by ensuring payments for both forms of debt are managed properly. This month's Business Inconvenient Truth. A sale is not a sale until the funds are in a bank, a traditional credit management saying. Today, with a downturn in the business environment expected, the above saying is no longer completely true. The saying today should be, a sale is not a sale until funds are in the bank plus 6 months and one day later. One of the effects in a downturn or recession is that an increasing number of businesses will enter insolvency administration. As a result, insolvency administrators will be looking to recoup funds through demands for preferential payments. These demands will not just affect those creditors which were enforcing their rights for payment. Other creditors which receive payments for their invoices in good faith will also be affected. The problem for all creditors will be the law which supports insolvency administrators' claims for preferential payments. Irrespective of how the payment was made by the debtor, the supplier has done nothing wrong, but will still probably have to pay the preference claim. Under such circumstances, one of the few defences a supplier has against preferential claims is that the payment was received 6 months and one day before the debtor entered an insolvency administration. For further information, visit the preferential payments feature on the Credit Matters website. Word of the month. Is the spelling behaviour, O-U-R, or behaviour, O-R? At first glance, deciding between the words behaviour, O-U-R, and behaviour, O-R, the choice appeared obvious. Many people believe behaviour, O-U-R, is the Australian spelling, and behaviour, O-R, is the American spelling. The spelling behaviour, O-R, in Australia would be considered a spelling mistake. Certainly, Microsoft Word marks behaviour, O-R, as a spelling error. However, I decided to check Google for Australian sites and found approximately 54 million sites used the spelling behaviour, O-U-R, whilst 22 million sites used the spelling behaviour, O-R. That's a staggering one-third of Australian sites ending in .au, use a spelling which would be considered an error in Australia. Due to the high number of sites using behaviour, O-R, spelling, it was felt important to investigate the spelling. According to the Macquarie and Australian Oxford Dictionaries, both list behaviour, O-U-R, as the primary Australian spelling, and behaviour, O-R, is listed as an also, and thus a secondary spelling variation. The authoritative references do not refer to behaviour, O-R, as purely American spelling. It is common in Australia for people to incorrectly believe a spelling variation is only American because that is a spelling used in America. In Australia, it is very common for words to have two spelling variations, such as behaviour, O-U-R, and behaviour, O-R. In Australia, it is best to use the primary spelling behaviour, O-U-R, unless it's your preference, or there's some reason to use a secondary spelling variation. Thank you for listening to this month's Credit Matters newsletter.